Once again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming this night. And I don't believe that I need to make an introduction to our brother here, Andy. And he always, as we can see, as his my son here brings up a broom to him, he always has something interesting to bring us with his sermon. And I always have the excitement to see how he interprets things of the gospel and relates them to our everyday common life. And he has a good ability to do that and to help us understand the love that Christ has for us and those things that we should do and the commandments of the Lord and how we should follow after them. And I do appreciate the efforts that he's been putting towards his new role as pastor here at the church. He's been doing a lot of hard work, and I know that he cares for each and every one of us and the welfare of our souls, and I'm thankful for that. So I would ask if you would say a small prayer for our brother as he has the word to preach, and I'll go ahead and turn it over to our pastor and elder, Andy Brown.
Thank you, Gary. I was trying to think of some wisecrack I could make about the broom, but I didn't know. I couldn't think of one off the top of my head, so I do plan on doing a little housekeeping later, though, so I needed the broom. And I meant to bring it from home, and then I thought, well, if I bring it from home, I'll forget it there, and then my wife will be upset at me because I left my broom at the house, from the house here, so I'll just use the one from the church. Then by the time I got to the church, I forgot about it. So it tells you where I'm at. I am thankful to be here this evening. I have a lot of thoughts, and they're kind of scrambled. So I would appreciate your prayers. I say hello to those that are live streaming. I forget about you out there, but I am thankful that you have that opportunity. I'm going to start this evening really by saying that I feel like the sermon is for this group, but certainly for myself, perhaps more than anybody. Let's start. I just want to read a scripture, and then we'll get started here. And that's going to be in 1 Corinthians in the third chapter. Some very familiar scriptures. And like I said, I'm not sure how it's all going to fit together, so if you can follow along, that would be great. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, excuse me, I'm going to start there in verse 11. And it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And as I thought of this, of course, you know, you all know I like to build stuff, or at this point in my life, I don't necessarily like to build stuff. It's just what I do. And it speaks of a foundation here, and obviously the physical things that the Apostle Paul was speaking of here are directly to be transferred or translated to spiritual. And hopefully my goal or my task this evening is to bring them one more step to you and I here today. You know, it's important that we have a good foundation. It's important. It's important that as our children grow, they're taught. And it doesn't happen, they don't just absorb it, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, they have to be taught. And they have to be willing to learn it. When I was in school, and it's no secret to any of you, I coasted through school pretty much without a problem. Didn't learn a thing. You know, I think when I graduated high school, they told me, you read about the sixth grade level. Well, that's not really what a high school student wants to hear. And, of course, one might ask himself, how in the world did you pass from sixth grade forward and not someone along the line say, hey, you need to stop and learn how to read here, buddy? Well, I was a good kid. Didn't cause any problems. Set my spot in the classroom. Was nice to the teacher. Did whatever they asked me to. And like a good little boy, I was pushed along to the next grade. And so I've struggled in life because of that and had to learn how to read later. And still, to this day, struggle a little bit. But my point being is our children have to have the foundation laid intentionally. I'm not a big news person, but I was on the internet going to type something in to look up a part or a piece of something I was looking for, and they have those little news blob things that come up there. And so I clicked on this one, 6 killed in Nairobi. I thought, what's going on in Nairobi? Apartment building fell down. It had been raining, and an apartment building fell down. 6-story, 7-story, something like that, apartment building, just showed pictures of it on the ground. Why is that? Well, obviously, they didn't follow the building code that said they should have put a good foundation underneath it. You know, they didn't look at the needs of the terrain they were building in and say, okay, we got to have a special foundation here. There's a lot of moisture here, you know. And it's no different than you and I in our walk of life. We have to have a foundation laid. And I got a little bit to the end of this sermon I want to talk about. And it's going to relate back to what I'm talking about now. So I'm going to ask you to follow with me, even though this stuff might be stuff that you know about. But you and I have a responsibility to lay a foundation. Where do we do that? Vacation church school, youth camp, Sunday school, Sunday preaching, not letting your kids sleep through the pastor's sermon, you know, whatever it is. But there has to be more than that, doesn't there? Somebody has to be teaching these kids in the home. Somebody has to teach us sometimes in the home. And this is where this comes in. Tonight, as we talk, I want to talk to you. Is that thing following me around, Aaron? Okay. I want to talk. I'll be walking around, and people are like, where'd he go? I want to talk to you a little bit about doing some housekeeping, doing some yard work, some maintenance to our life spiritually, to where we're at today. You know, the other day, my son, as he likes to travel all over the planet, says he's headed to Istanbul the day after Don preached last week. And Don mentioned in his sermon, and I'm going to mess this word up, I always do, Constantinople, the city Constantinople, is today modern Istanbul. And so I wrote him and said, hey, when are you going to Constantinople? And he wrote me back and said, I'm flying out tomorrow, whatever, you know. And of course, we know that was the city of Ephesus, which Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians to. And so I wrote him and said, you better take some pictures. I want to see. And of course, he sent me some pictures of beautiful scenery and cathedrals and stuff that was built there for centuries ago. And that is the history. It's hard for me to imagine that, you know, the Apostle Paul, the words we're reading here, were being written to the people who lived in that city that my son was visiting a week ago. And they're gone. Those people are gone. And those people who lived there when Paul wrote are long gone, because 2 or 3 other people, Don probably knows, groups of people have conquered and changed the name of the city. And of course, Christianity is not even there today. This stronghold of Christianity at the time Paul was writing is gone. It's gone. And was gone by, you know, for sure by 1200, but even before then, 5-something. And so my point being, there's no guarantee. The thing that you and I have in our life today called the gospel of Jesus Christ can be gone in one generation. You know, my wife and I, she probably gets tired of me using her as an example. I used to use my sons, but they got tired of me using them as an example. But she is a housekeeper. She don't want that floor dirty, you know. And the little guys will come over and walk through something and walk through the house or whatever. Midnight, she's mopping the floor. She can't stand the floor to be dirty, you know. She's in there doing the housekeeping. And yet, guys like myself, I drop something on the floor, it's like, kick that over there. I'll get that later, you know. Or my son will lay a glass down and, oh, yeah, I'll get that. Yeah, 2 days later, it's still there, so I don't pick it up. So my point being is many of us spiritually are me. We're not doing housekeeping. We're not cleaning up after ourselves on a daily basis. You know, I think it's important. I got more tricks. We have to do some pruning, too. We got to do some pruning in our life. There's a way that the Lord has given us to do this. There's a method in His Word, in how He constructed the church, that this maintenance work, we have a maintenance committee here, one of them sitting back there, and this morning I was, during Sunday school, I'm sitting back there writing a little list. I like to write lists. And after Sunday school, I walked up and handed it to Aaron and said, here, you know, these are things I'll forget if I don't give them to you now. And one of them has to do with the AC, and one of them has to do with a wire out on the front of the building, and, you know, different things that need to be done around this building. He's on the maintenance committee. You and I are on the maintenance committee for our family. Those of you that are sitting in this room that are of the ministry are on the maintenance committee of this body, spiritually. And so we go back to what Paul was saying here. No other foundation can be laid. We have to minister the gospel built on the foundation of Jesus Christ with works that are spiritual. I find it interesting that list of things that are going to get burned up range from gold to stubble. It's all, in the Lord's sight, it's all worth about the same. The Lord don't need gold. You know, come that day we come into the kingdom, it doesn't matter if we had a lot of gold in this life or we lived in an old dirt house with one room. It doesn't matter. What matters is where our heart is and if we've done the housekeeping that we need to do there. Let's continue on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Chapter 12, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read several verses there, so you may want to follow along. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. And this goes right along with what I'm talking about. And you guys know the next several verses I'm going to read. That there's a lot of different people in this body. You know, there's a lot of different parts to this body, this physical body. And again, we're going to make this relationship. If the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or if the whole the hearing, where the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. Not as it pleased me. This is not about me. This is not about who's sitting next to you in the pew. This is about you've been placed in the body of Christ as it pleased the Lord. And I can look at myself and say, well, you know, I'm not that Brian McIndoe. I don't get to travel all over the planet and preach to a lot of people and baptize a lot of people. Therefore, I must be of no use. No, that's His job for now. This is my job for now, you know. And those of you young men out there who may not be in the ministry, does that mean you have nothing to do? Heavens, no. You've been placed in the body as it pleased the Lord. There's service to be done if you're willing to do it. You know, ladies the same way. I made a comment to some of my brothers this morning, you know, I can go visit somebody, oftentimes isolated members, and have a nice visit, go away from there feeling pretty good about myself. Maybe I preached a sermon to them and I served them the sacrament and everything seemed to be fine, you know. Or I can go there and take my wife and do the same thing. And the person was really ministered to because she was able to visit to the sister. Adam and I have a sister that lives up in Billings, Montana, who we love to visit because she's just eager to hear the gospel preached. She's eager to have you minister the sacrament or whatever, you know. And but I know that when my wife's with me, she's even ministered to greater because she's going to have a nice visit with my wife and she's going to talk about those things of the heart that she's not going to talk to me about. Okay? We're all in the body for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. You have a spot, and it's not just to warm a spot in the pew. It's to be about the Savior's work. Let's continue to read a few more verses. And I don't know where I'm at. As it pleased him is where it was at. There we go. Verse 19. And if there were only one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body that seem more feeble are necessary. You ever talk to somebody that got their little toe cut off? They had to learn to walk over again, you know. But I can guarantee you most of us on a daily basis don't even think about our little toe. It's just hanging out down there in my shoe, you know. But it's that part of the body that's maybe a little more feeble, but necessary. And there's individuals that sit in this church and they don't have a lot to say, but they're constant and they're sincere and they're praying for you. They're a necessary part of the body. 23rd verse, and it says, in those members of the body which we think of being less honorable, upon those bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack. Okay? The Lord knows where we're at in this body. And I'd like us to take it one step further. It's not just this little congregation in Phoenix, Arizona. The body of Christ consists of people in the Philippines and in Africa and in India, Mexico and Honduras and our brothers and sisters in Missouri and throughout the United States. It's a big body. And those parts are necessary. Those parts are necessary. And we make a mistake when we begin to think, well, you know, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I must be better than everybody else. Oh. No better than ever. You live in the middle of the desert. What are you thinking? You know. But so we have to realize that the Lord has put us, and I make jokes about the desert because I don't like living in the desert. But the Lord's put me here. For whatever reason, I'm not always sure. But while I'm here, I need to do what I can. I think that's all I want to read there in that spot. I want to talk a little bit more about this idea that I'm working towards, that we all have a place. We all have a purpose. Some of us are quieter than others. Some of us are louder than others. You know, some of us have just different personalities. But we have to be willing to submit to the Lord's will in our life. I wrote a couple notes. Let me see if I can. I want to go to Alma in the third chapter. Like I said, I'm not the most organized tonight for some reason. Too many thoughts and not enough time to put them all together, but that's all right, as long as we get the message. Alma chapter 3, verse 41. I'm going to read a few verses there, starting on verse 41 on page 315. It says, "Now I ask you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if you shall stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood or all manner of filthiness?" Okay, and this was I had a hard time starting and stopping in this story, but he's asking a question. You know, basically he's asking, are you ready? Are you ready to go? Is your garments clean? Verse 42, "Behold, with what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderer yet, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness?" Okay, so he's talking to a people. He's trying to get them to repent and come and remember the covenant they had made. It says, "Behold, my brethren, do not suppose that such a one can have a place to sit down in the kingdom of God, that with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and also the holy prophets, whose garments are cleaned and are spotless, pure and white." Okay, that's where we're headed here with this. And like I said, my little secret here I'm trying to build towards is all in this purpose, that we do a better job cleaning house, that we do a better job pruning the trees, that we might do a better job. Can you tell I love tools? We might do a better job doing some maintenance work in our life. You know, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes find that I let stuff go. Spiritually, I let stuff go. I might be out there at midnight fixing something on the roof or at the neighbor's house and some maintenance issue they have, or working on the air conditioner, but am I out there at midnight praying? Am I out there in my shop in the corner on my knees seeking the Lord? Am I doing the maintenance spiritually in my life? And we have need of maintenance. And I believe the Lord has given us the tools and the manpower to do that maintenance. And that's where I'm going with this. Let's continue to read a verse or two here. And what's the purpose of the maintenance? What's the purpose of pruning the bushes and keeping things cleaned up and sweeping out the house spiritually? It's that right there. "That your garments may be cleansed and spotless, pure and white." And in the 45th verse, and it says, "I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that he is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such can have place in the kingdom of heaven." If we're filthy dirty spiritually, there's no place for us in the kingdom. That's what he's saying. I don't have to make that judgment call. I don't want to make that judgment call. But we need to look at our life, and if we're caught up in the filth of this world, we need to ask ourselves, are we headed for the kingdom? Do we suppose that somehow God's a liar? And all the stuff he said about judgment, not true. He's not a liar. I can tell you that right now. He's not a liar. And that's what Alma was saying here. "And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change in your heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now?" Okay, we all go through different times in our life. He was talking to a people who had apparently at one time had known the Lord, you know. And I ask you today, do you feel so now? Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Could ye say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That you've been sufficiently humble? That's a question he's asking. That's a part of the maintenance work we're talking about here. That's a part of sweeping out this old house full of cobwebs. I want to tell you a quick story. At St. Joe's Hospital, and for those of you that know St. Joe's, downtown, very old. The building was completed in 1953, the original. It's been added on to a bazillion times. But I've been in the building for, going on 5 years, pretty much know most of the hiding spots. I go in mechanical rooms. I go off the beaten path all the time. And the other day, I had an opportunity to go in someplace I'd never been before. And I thought when I walked in there, I thought, ooh, there could be a sermon in here. Way at the top. When you drive down Thomas, if you look at the old building, and it's kind of got a four-way roof on it, a neat structure, knowing how those guys had to have built that's kind of neat to me. All poured in place concrete, even the roof beams and everything. But you have to go up two flights of stairs, and you go in this room, and it's not finished. It's all concrete walls. There's a couple exhaust fans sitting in there. And these big windows going all the way up, you can look out to the south, and cobwebs everywhere. I mean, just cobwebs and dust. And then there's another set of stairs and another platform, even one level higher. And I thought, oh, this is a cool hiding spot, you know. And but yet I look at that and think, is there a spot like that in my heart that I normally don't go into? Is there a spot like that within me that's full of old men's bones, full of dusty cobwebs that I'm not cleaning out? I'm not ready to. Am I ready for the Lord to come in there? He wants our garments white. He wants us maintaining our house, this spiritual individual, above and beyond mowing the yard and cleaning the house and fixing the car and all that stuff. This has got to be the priority. Okay. I told you. Well, hold on. I think I got something left in here. More tools. We've done the inside of the house. We've pruned the trees. And we got to clean up after ourselves. We need to scoop up the yard. We need to rake up the yard a little bit. We're going to do some maintenance work. I'm going to tell you where this is going. And I wanted to hold your attention because I know this stuff is stuff you've heard before. You've heard it from me before. I feel like... Sorry. It's been upon my heart the last several weeks that, well, let me start over with that phrase. It's been upon my heart several years that we as the ministry in this local don't do a good job of servicing you how we should. We preach. You come in on Sunday, and there's a preacher up here, and he usually has a pretty good sermon, I think. You call 10 o'clock at night for one of us to come and minister to you. I'm confident any one of us would jump out of bed and come and minister to you. Recently, well, hold on. I'll back up one more step. As most of you know, I've I'll fess up. I've ran probably as quick as I can from being the pastor in years past. And I appreciate our brethren who have been the pastor in the past. Several years ago, when our brother Bob was a pastor, I was assistant pastor. And I had some ideas, but I guess I didn't. Wasn't really willing to just take the bull by the horns and run with it, because you know Bob, he would have said, here, go do it. You know, he's all right with that. And our brother Jim was a pastor the last few years, and I'm going to contribute to the Lord really placed it upon my heart that you know, you need to man up and at least put your name there, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but if it does, do it, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I was in Cancun and I got that phone call saying, hey, they just elected you to be pastor. And a whole range of emotion went through my mind. First of all, are they crazy? But with that, you know, I've had this stockpile of ideas in my mind. And I really feel like in some ways, Jim kind of set the groundwork for some of my ideas. One of my ideas, as most of you know, we as a ministry, we meet together every Sunday morning. And we visit one with another, and we pray. Okay? And that prayer and that visit is for the well-being of this local. And I feel like that here a few weeks ago, you know, the Lord knows our needs better than we do. And He did something in this local which was phenomenal. We got more ministry. And I don't think for a second that was by accident. I don't think the timing was by accident. I think it was totally deliberate on the Lord's part, because He knows what He's doing. But me being the foreman and superintendent that I am, well, I can't stand to see guys at work or sitting around. You know, and some of you guys have worked for me in the past. Some of you do still. I'm very focused on getting a project done. Not always spiritually. And that's where I'm trying to learn and to grow. That's why I said this sermon's about me. But as I contemplated these things, there's spiritual maintenance that needs to be done in this local. And I think the Lord knew that and knows that. And so guess what? He gave us some maintenance men. He gave us some spiritual maintenance men. We have four priests in this local, plus, you know, three of us or four of us elders that are here most of the time. I know Jim travels and different ones travel, but so we have a healthy chunk of ministry. And I don't think for a second their job is to warm the pew and listen to me preach or one of the other brothers preach, and they preach once a month, and that's it. That's not it. So, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been racking my brain, as small as it is, as you can see from me racking my brain over this, of an acronym. If someone had to tell me what an acronym was, I probably wouldn't even know. But I want to put Stephen, Jose, and Glenn, and Aaron, there he is, blends into the crowd, to work. Okay? And by putting them to work, they're going to help put the rest of us to work. I've already talked to them about it. And where this is going is, I think that we don't do a good job maintaining this people. You come to church, you get serviced. You come, you talk, you have a problem, hopefully you approach one of us. But, you know, there's no roadside maintenance going on here. There's no in-home maintenance going on here, which, as our brother Aaron pointed out a week ago in Sunday school, is part of their job. It's part of their job to visit the members in the homes. That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing the last 30 years. Okay, but I realize, as human beings, sometimes that's hard. And I know that if I walked from this pulpit tonight, I walked straight over there to Chase, and Chase, me and one of the other brothers want to come over and visit you tomorrow night. How's tomorrow night? Okay, I guess. You know, what'd I do? Wrong. Time out. But that's our fault. That's not his fault. So in order for this to work, we have four almost unemployed priesthoods sitting here. And so it's our job to put them to work. My acronym is what it is. Sorry. Ministry in Home Service. Don't miss it. the idea is you invite us. It's your maintenance. You invite us. Invite one of these brothers to your house. Invite them all. I don't care. You don't have to feed them. You don't have to give them a cup of coffee. But my idea and my instruction to them is when you leave that home, they need to be blessed. That's our calling. That we're a blessing to God's people. They're a blessing to one another. We just read scriptures here from the Apostle Paul talking about members. We're not all the same member. I'm not Jose, and he's not me. But the Lord has a very particular purpose for both of us. Each one of us have a different talent. Each one of us have a different need. And there shouldn't be a day that goes by that any one of us couldn't walk up to Chase and, hey, Chase, can we come over? Oh, glad. Sure, come on over. That'd be great. Because you're already familiar. It's normal. It's normal. So anytime we have to have a change in our life, something's got to be a little uncomfortable maybe. You know, something's got to be a little different. Maybe I don't get to watch my TV show on Tuesday night. I'm going to have a couple of ministry over every Tuesday night. Different ones. I want to put them all through the ringer. I may ask them all the same question and see if they come up with the same answer. Whatever it is, we can't serve you unless the door is open. Fully serve you. We can serve you here. You can come knock on our door and we're there to serve you. But I don't think that's what the Lord had in mind. And I don't believe that He called these men to do nothing. So, please, invite them over. Have a list, a question, a concern. Pray with them. That's their job. That's their job. That's my job. And we will grow because of it. In the past, I don't know how far past, my wife could probably tell me, when I was first called to the ministry, I was a teacher. And I had a desire to visit people in their homes. But we just struggled getting it off the ground. We struggled because usually the people that really wanted you to come were the people that are here every Sunday anyway. You know, or maybe my kinfolk or my friends already. Oh, yeah, come on over, you know. But that's important, too. We're not only going to want to reach out to the people that maybe aren't present here today. We want to reach out to each of you. So, you know, if you're Don and Betty McIndoo, who has filled the spot in the pew here forever, Jim and Wanda, who has filled their spot in the pew here forever, almost ever, expect a visit. We want to come visit you. Because guess what? We're going to learn from you. As much as we can bless you, you can bless us. That's the members fitting as the Lord had anticipated it, as the Lord had desired it. But the door has to be open. I'm going to encourage you guys, you young people. We have several young families in this congregation. Open the door. Allow the Lord to bless you through your ministry. That's what we're here for. Put your ministry to work. You know, they not mow the grass on Tuesday night at their house. Oh, well, it'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Put them to work every night. That's the intent. So like I said, this sermon really was about each of us doing housekeeping in our own yard, doing work in our own heart. And that spot up in the top of St. Joe's Hospital reminds me of those cobwebs that can gather in that dark spot in our heart where we don't want nobody looking around, you know. It's funny. Some of you will come to my house sometimes. And you'll say, hey, can I borrow such and such? Or do you have that? Oh, sure, come on to the shop. And I like to watch the look on your face. And Dad's laughing. Your dad's very particular and very organized in his life. It looks like a bomb has gone off in my shop. I don't even know if a bomb could have scattered stuff like that. Okay? But that's where we're at spiritually, most of us, some of us, part of us, different aspects of our life. Looks like my shop. Looks like if you just move something, just one item, everything may fall down. You know, we have a unique opportunity in this local. We have a lot of ministry. A lot of us travel. A lot of us go a lot of places, and that's fine. But we have sufficient ministry to minister to the needs of this people. But you have to open the door. You have to invite. The burden can't just be on us. Hey, do you mind if we come over? Is there a good night? No. Be a participant. Be an active participant. And don't invite, Jesse, you can invite me. But don't just invite me because you've always been with me. Invite one of the other brothers that maybe you're not quite as familiar with, you know. Invite someone that you don't know. I'll invite Jose and have him come do a study with me in Spanish. You know, I can't do that. I can't do that study in Spanish. You know, I hope the message is clear. We have work to do, each one of us, as a member of the body. Each one of us have a job. Don't think there's not a spot here for you, because there is. And if you're not doing it, it means it's probably going undone. We have a wonderful opportunity the Lord has given us to build each other, to build up the church, to build up the body. My thoughts are this. And I thought this when I was in January, when I came into this predicament of being the pastor. You know, in order to accomplish anything, you have to make an evaluation of it. I walk onto a job site, I immediately make an evaluation of it. Are things being done completely? Are there things there that are hazards that's going to sneak up and grab somebody? Are there problems? Are there people there who really aren't qualified? You know, and even considering all those things, I still miss stuff. Every job, I still miss stuff. Okay? So no matter how hard we try, no how fully open you are to inviting the ministry into your home, we're still human. We're not perfect. Don't expect perfection. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about strengthening the body, being to each other as the Lord intended. So my encouragement to you this evening is, we got a whole room full of maintenance men. I think most of them got their shovel and their rake and their broom ready. So my desire for you is to put them to work. Put them to work in your life. Make place. Make time. Open the door that they can serve you. Thank you.